all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, Salamu Alaikum, welcome. This is another episode of today's special, and we're speaking about moderation in Islam.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. That's when you open the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
Today, Tuesday, is the 15th of Rabiul Thani, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Aban, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we listen to a verse from the Holy Quran. From chapter Al-An'am, verse 153, we learn more.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون.
And moreover, this is my path, which is straight, so follow it. And do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from His way. This has He instructed you, that you may become righteous.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran implies that Allah commands that this is His straight path, which is the path of unity, the path of truth and justice, the path of piety and virtue. You should follow it and never treat in the perverted and diverse ways that make you astray and aloof from the path of Allah. It scatters the seed of hypocrisy and discord among you. The evil manner of the age of ignorance is repeated in another form in our time, so that we can say the ignorance of today is fulfilled in an even wider and more terrible case than the ignorance of before Islam. In this episode, we're going to speak about the significance of moderation in Islam. Islam recognizes the line which separates moderation and extremism, even in matters of the religion itself. If a Muslim transgresses this limit, where it involves harm and making the religion more difficult beyond our capacity, it is then considered to be going against the religion. Furthermore, the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said in a hadith, warning us from resorting to extreme tendencies in our religious life. Verily, the religion, Islam, is made easy, and whoever overburdens himself in his practice of religion will be overwhelmed by it. Follow the right course, seek closeness to Allah, give glad tidings, and gain strength by worshipping in the mornings, the afternoons, and the during last hours of the nights.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this show, we are trying to talk about the significance of moderation in Islam. Since Islam as a religion is not exclusively confined to religious practices per se, this implies that Muslims are encouraged to practice and cultivate moderation in every aspect of their lives, from lifestyle to worship, in order to achieve the best of both worlds. Islam is easy to practice, and simplicity, not overburdening the self or others, is a preferred trait. Second is that mercy is a trait that is inseparable from Islam. Islam favors gentleness and ethical conduct. Islam promotes peaceful approaches and is against outright violence. So let's look at the meaning of extremism, which is in front of moderation. What does it mean? Because it is being said that sometimes the things are usually known by their opposite side. So we must first understand the meaning and characteristics of extremism to avoid engaging with all of its forms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran, تَلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. These are the limits ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not transgress them. If any do transgress the limits ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such persons do wrong to themselves as well as others. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 229. We see that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explicitly warned Muslims against both monasticism and celibacy, as the former neglects the rights of family and others, while the latter causes a society to corrupt. Extreme religious views and actions indeed can be determined to us or even to others. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-Quran, the same verse that we recited to you, تَلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special, and these are the ways to help us live constantly and consistently and constantly by moderation. It's important to appreciate the diversity of scholarly views. We can achieve this by learning about comparative fiqh in order to expose ourselves to the diversity of opinions of our scholars on any issue. As a result, we can develop a deeper appreciation of these scholarly differences. This doesn't mean that we can cherry-pick different opinions. Instead, the objective is to not confine us from thinking that we are only right and others are wrong, as we know that there are different views on certain matters. Allah, Allah. This is today's special on moderation in the Islamic lifestyle. In the teachings of Islam, moderation in belief and behavior is valued, and excesses in affairs are condemned. The set of rules and customs of the Islamic religion is such that a person can be educated in a balanced way, and also one of the most basic intellectual rules and religious concepts in Islam, which has been emphasized a lot by the pure Imams, peace be upon them, is adherence to moderation in all areas of human life. The importance of the discussion of moderation becomes clear when we see that in the course of history, groups under different titles have had a significant impact on the masses of people in societies by going beyond the limit of moderation and tending to extremes. Therefore, it is necessary to introduce and explain the factors to achieve moderation in order not to fall into the trap of extremes in affairs. According to the Quran report and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, it can be seen that several factors such as faith in God, planning, correcting vision and attitudes, supervision and control, avoiding excesses, correct and just law prohibition of extravagance and wastage, right-centeredness, rationalism, and the rule of justice play a role in the occurrence of moderation. Thank you.
والذين يقولون ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. And there are some that ask Allah for a hasana, for good, or for a good deed, or for beauty. Meaning they ask Allah to improve their dunya, fi dunya hasana, wa fi al-akhirati hasana. They want a good life in dunya, and they want a good life in akhira. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And this is a dua that we recite all the time in salah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. Islam teaches us through dua. See, it affects our subconscious mind. See how the Quran teaches us through a dua. See how the Ahl Bayt teach us through a dua that subconsciously affects our mind so that we will work for both dunya and akhirah. Don't neglect the akhirah and concentrate on dunya. Don't concentrate on the akhirah at the price of dunya. No, work for both. Strive for both. And another verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الْدَارَ الْآخِرَةِ. And strive from which Allah has given you the akhirah. Allah has given you wealth. Use that wealth to obtain a good status in the akhirah. Allah has given you health. Use that health. Take advantage of that health to obtain a good status in the akhirah. وَلَا تَنْسَ وَابْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الْدَارَ الْآخِرَةَ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And don't forget your part, your section, your piece of dunya. Don't forget your dunya.
That was all for this episode of today's special. Thank you for joining us. And have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami, Aliyun Imami. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a thought-stimulating saying from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. The heart of an ignorant is his mouth, and the mouth of a wise person is in his heart.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very important topic, and that topic is related to alcohol and the consumption of alcohol. As you know, the consumption and drinking of alcohol is one of the major sins within Islam, and the major sins are those sins which a person cannot be forgiven for unless he sincerely repents to God. And this is also one of the distinctions of Islam. As you know, a lot of the other religions, even some of the Abrahamic religions, they don't categorically prohibit consumption of alcohol. For example, Christianity, it doesn't categorically prohibit it. It says abusing alcohol is something forbidden. But this is one of the distinctions of Islam. When Islam came, as you know, alcohol and the consumption of alcohol and intoxicants was something very prevalent amongst the pagan Arabs. A lot of people say that the reason for this was that, water was a scarce resource in the Arabian Peninsula. Because obviously it was a desert and arid climate, and they didn't have access to a lot of rivers and, lakes and, the ocean and these kind of things. So because of that, they kind of made up for this by producing alcoholic beverages and consuming them to make up for this scarcity. So the pagan Arabs, they became addicted to it. This is reflected if you take a cursory glance at some of the poems of the pagan Arabs pre-Islam, meaning before Islam. I mean, before Islam, you can clearly see this, infatuation with alcohol and wine and these kind of beverages. So when Islam came and gradually in stages, because of this prevalence and severity of this vice amongst the Arabs, it gradually in stages took steps and in a series of stages went, and it prohibited this vice. In today's session of Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at the reason for the prohibition of alcohol as narrated by Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Imam Ridha alayhi salam has been narrated as having said, Allah forbade alcohol due to the corruption that accompanies it, and due to the way in which it alters the drinker's reason. This is something that is can clearly be affirmed for by through experience. When we see people who consume alcohol, usually in the state of intoxication, they're not able to reason properly. A lot of the other basic human faculties, their ability to function is reduced. This is something which is known by everybody. Because of this, obviously, that in Islam, it is the intellect and reason, which is what, in essence, worships Allah and obeys Him. And because of this, Imam Muhammad alayhi salam said, and how it encourages them to deny Allah mighty and exalted, and to slander Him and His Messenger, and for all of the other accompaniments of corruption and murder. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reason for the prohibition of alcohol in the words of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Here we are again with Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that, alhamdulillah, I have Fawad Haider, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Hussein Ruhullah again in this session with me. So, guys, assalamu alaikum. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Ali Nasir?
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Good job. So, Hassan, how about you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Fawad.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
All right. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 7 and Ayah 8 of Surah Al-An'am on page 128. So, brothers and sisters, hope you have your Quran with you. Turn to page 128, Ayah 7 and Ayah 8 of Surah Al-An'am. Let's get started by listening to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walau nazzalna 'alayka kitaban fi qirtasin falamasuhu bi aydihim laqala alladhina kafaru in hadha illa sihrun mubin. وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون.
Nice recitation, MashaAllah. I really loved it. How about you?
Yes, it was beautiful.
So, practice inshallah to recite that way. Make sure when we get to the tajweed parts, listen carefully to learn the tajweed rules and beautify your recitation with each tajweed rule. So, let's see first and foremost what Allah Almighty says in this ayah, a short explanation, inshallah, then we'll move on. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah Almighty says in ayah 7 of Surah Al-An'am, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. And Allah Almighty says, and if we had sent down to you, O Prophet, a book on paper, okay? So the Quran was not sent like a book, okay? The book Quran that we have right now, it was not sent like this, like a hard book, okay? Like a physical one, yes? No, it was revealed to Prophet, to the heart of the Prophet, and Prophet was reading it, each verse of the Quran to the people, and they were memorizing, they were writing on papers, on stones, on skins of animals, on leaves of the trees, okay? So they were recording them. And yes, Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ. Look, the pagans of Mecca, they were not believing the Prophet, yes?
Yes.
And also the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they were not believing, especially the Jews, they were not accepting the Prophet. They were saying, no, this is not the words of God. He's doing magics.
Yes.
God forbid, they were calling the Prophet magician. He's a magician. He's not a prophet. Why? Because he is saying like magic words. Yes? They were calling the Prophet magic. And sometimes, God forbid, they were calling Prophet like crazy.
So question.
Yes.
The Quran was revealed in a language that people spoke at that time?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so how do they call him a magician?
Because it was really, really like kind of, how do you call it? Miraculous. Yeah. Look, the way Quran says, the beauty that the Quran has, the words of the Quran, how they are set together. Okay, look, for example, you have وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَاءَ. It ends with beautiful sounds, okay? There are many aspects of the miraculous, the Quran being miraculous, okay? First, the literature used in the Quran. This is the best literature, Arabic literature ever. So the people in that time, okay, they did not know how to write, how to read. Only about 17 people in Mecca, they were able to read. From the whole population of Mecca. How many people?
17.
Nearly 17 people. Not 70, 17. 10 plus 7. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam as well did not go to any school. Did not go to any university, madrasa, there was not. There are some doubts, okay, that they say people, Prophet was the student of Christians and Jews. Come on, stop these kind of superstitions. Okay? So Prophet brought something which is miraculous. The words, how they flew, the beauty that the Quran has in terms of literature, and the meanings that the Quran has. The enemies of the Prophet, those who were denying Prophet, okay? At night, in the midnight, when the Prophet was reciting Quran in his home, so the enemies, during the days, they were denying the Prophet. They were fighting the Prophet. But during the night, they were going next to his house and they were listening to the sound of the verses of the Quran. They were saying, God, what is this? Beautiful. Really beautiful. Heart-touching. So it was something miraculous for them. And it is miraculous. Quran is miraculous. It has been miraculous and it will be miraculous. It's a fact. Nobody has been able to bring something like Quran. One ayah like Quran. Okay? So they, the people of Mecca at that time, okay, they were so good at poetry. Very good at poetry. Like every person, okay, was able to share some poems. Kids, women, men, everybody, old ladies, everybody was able to, what? To say poems.
So, you said only 17 could read and write.
Yeah, but poetry, it's not something that you really need to read or write. You hear it from others. Yes? Sometimes, now, I see it with myself, going to my imaginations, okay, I can make some poems. Yes or no? They were so active in these terms. But the beauty that the Quran has, it was something miraculous. And they were shocked. What is this? Okay? That's why they were denying it. They were saying, no, it's something magic. And Allah says, look, Prophet, they are denying this. Even if we send you a book on paper and tell you, oh people, look, this is a book. This is not magic. Book written. Words are written here. Look, they still will not accept it. Why? I told you in the previous sessions, they have that darkness in their heart. Okay?
Yes.
That's why they don't accept it. That's the reason. So Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ. They would touch it. And still they will deny it. لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ.
قرآني في قلبي دوما يغمرني من فيض ضياء آيات.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
So, guys, I hope you refer to the Tafasir books. That's all. We don't have much time. That was a short explanation. Hope you have been introduced at least to this ayah, to the messages of the ayah. Turn to the Tafasir books, inshallah. Learn more. All right? Okay, Hassan, Hussein?
Yes.
All right. Let's recite a salawat and move on to the tajweed parts.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajam.
Some of the tajweed rules I will mention. وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا. The rules of Tanween and Nun Sakin, you know them, yes? Four different rules. إِخْفَى, إِدْغَام, إِظْهَار, and
إِقْلَاب.
إِقْلَاب. So here, كِتَابًا, Tanween. The next word starts with fa, Tanween plus fa. What rule is applied here?
إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى. You hide the sound of Tanween. How do you read it, Ali Nasir?
كِتَابًا.
أحسن. كِتَابًا. كِتَابًا. Hide the sound. Pronounce نون كِتَابًا. But now hide it. كِتَابًا. Don't pronounce it correctly.
Yes.
Clearly, I mean. So, فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ. The same thing. فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. Yes. لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا. You can extend the mad or ignore the mad. إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. How do you read it? Hassan? سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. You join it to meme. How do you read it?
سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ.
سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Good job. Extend the sound. سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Next. وَقَالُوا. Heavy letter. لولا. You can extend the mad or ignore the mad, because harful mad, alif and hamza, are they in the same word?
Yes.
How are you sure?
No.
They are not the same word in the same word.
They're separate words.
A separate word. لولا. Alif is with la and unzila. Yes?
Yep.
Hamza is with the word unzila.
With
So unzila. Oh, what? You apply the rule ikhfa again, yes? Unzila.
Yes.
Alayhi malak. Sila tells us? Huh?
Better to continue.
But you still can make a pause here. Walau anzalna. Again, hide the sound of noon. Malakan laqudiya. Hussein, how do you read it? Malakan laqudiya.
Malakan laqudiya.
Are you sure?
Malakan.
Are you sure? There is the letter lam after tanween.
Oh, malakal laqudiyya.
Malakal laqudiyya. So you don't...
It doesn't have
غنة غنة
you don't mashallah you don't extend the sound just yes. merge it yes. ملك القضية قضية الأمر ثم extend the sound of ميم لا ينظرون ينظرون hide the sound that's it very simple let's practice the recitation alright
yes
ready
yes
take deep breaths brothers and sisters listen and repeat بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولو نزلنا عليك كتابا في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم
ولو نزلنا عليك كتابا في قرطاس فلمسوه بأيديهم
فلمسوه بأيديهم لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين
فلمسوه بأيديهم لقال الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين
وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك
وقالوا لولا أنزل عليه ملك
ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون
ولو أنزلنا ملكا لقضي الأمر ثم لا ينظرون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for listening to IRIB English Radio. Inshallah, hope you stay with us. In the next coming sessions, we'll be there again with you. That was all from us for today. Thank you so much. Thanks, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, and Fawad. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevio International Schools Network. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
The Ocean of Dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach toward supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran, and we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wal'an alahum ajma'in.
Brothers and sisters, in the previous episodes, as you were previously with us, we were having a look at the first and foremost, the most important educational objective of supplications. We said that, of course, supplications are full of advantages. We even counted up to 8 or 7 different advantages and effects for supplications. And, of course, after mentioning all those advantages, we noticed the fact that there are some obstacles, some hindrances that the supplicant needs to be aware of. We, of course, said that even if our supplication superficially is not responded to, the mere engagement, the very fact that the supplicant has engaged in supplication is to a level, to some degree, a kind of response that we, all the human beings, need to be thankful for. But the fact is that there are some hindrances, some impediments that the supplicant needs to be aware of. Beyond that, there are some educational objectives for supplications that we were mentioning. We said that the most objective seen throughout the different parts of the supplications is that the Almighty Allah is referred to as the absolute cause by any kind of word and deed possible. For example, we read in the 36th supplication of Sahifa, وَأَنْزِلْ عَلَيْنَا نَفْغَ هَذِهِ السَّحَابِ وَبَرَكَتَهَا وَاصْرِفْ عَنَّا أَذَاهَا وَمَضَرَّتَهَا. O Allah, please bring down on us the benefits and blessings of these clouds. Turn their harms away from us. Allahumma adhib mahalla biladina bisuqiyak. O Allah, take away the barrenness of our country by your rains. Take away the distress of our hearts by your blessing. Wa akhrij wahra sudurina birizqik. فَإِنَّ الْغَنِيَّ مَنْ أَغْنَيْتَ وَإِنَّ السَّالِمَ مَنْ وَقَيْتَ. The rich is the one whom you have made rich, and the safe is the one, he whom you have protected. It is also said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّ هَاتَيْنِ آيَتَانِ مِنْ آيَاتِكَ. O Allah, cloud and lightning, these are two signs of yours. وَهَذَيْنِ عَوْنَانِ مِنْ أَعْوَانِكَ. You, these are your assistants. يَتَبَدَّرَانِ طَاعَتَكَ بِرَحْمَةٍ نَافِعَةٍ. These are the ones obeying you with profitable mercy or harmful wrath. أَوْ نِقْمَةٍ ضَارَّةٍ فَلَا تُمْطِرْنَا بِهَا مَطْرَ السَّوءِ. Please do not make them pour over us the rain of wrath. وَلَا تُلْبِسْنَا بِهِمَا لِبَاسَ الْبَلَاءِ. Please make them cover us with not the dress of distress.
I remember when I first met you.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, That is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab anjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab anjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedast. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va past. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the merciful God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Elsewhere, we read in the supplications that the Almighty Allah is praised. And praise belongs to the Almighty Allah, who is the creator of such and such. And by counting the different instances of the creations of the Almighty Allah, the supplicant will be more cognizant, will be more aware of the different blessings of the Almighty Allah. And of course, he will understand how powerful the Almighty Allah is. And beyond and above all that, he will realize that there is only one absolute cause in this universe. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ بِقُوَّتِهِ. This is the sixth supplication of Sahifatul Sajjadiyah. Praise be to Allah, who has created the night and the day with His power. وَمَيَّزَ بَيْنَهُمَا بِقُدْرَتِهِ. He is the one who distinguished between them with His might. وَجَعَلَ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا حَدًّا مَّحْدُودًا. He is the one who has made for each of them a certain limit. وَخَلَقَ لَهُمُ اللَّيْلِ لِيَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ مِنْ حَرَكَاتِ التَّعَبِ. He is the one who has created for them the night to rest from hardships of the day. So, it is really noticeable that in these expressions, every move and even every immovability is directly related to God. And the whole causality is ascribed to more aware Allah. Not just more, but most aware Allah. وَخَلَقَ لَهُمُ النَّهَارُ مُبَصِرًا. He has created the day and made it bright for them. لِيَبْتَغُوا فِيهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. To benefit from their Lord's favors. وَلِيَتَسَبَّبُوا إِلَىٰ رِزْقِهِ وَيَسْرَحُوا فِي أَرْضِهِ. To gain livelihood, to rove in his earth. طَلَبًا لِمَا فِيهِ نَيْلُ الْعَاجِلِ. To get the necessary needs of their worldly life. وَدَرْكُ الْآجِلِ فِي أُخْرَهُمْ. To ensure the later necessities of their afterlife. So it is truly noticeable that the infallible Imams have considered themselves as the manifestations of God's attributes. In some traditions, they consider themselves as the very content of God's attributes. However, the structure of the truth behind God's attributes is beyond our thinking and our imagination. What we understand, however, is that in all these instances of the transmitted supplications of the Ahlul Bayt, the power of the absolute cause is directly at rest. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind. unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we'll listen to your questions, your queries that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers of our experts are based on Noble Quran and the narrations of Holy Prophet, may peace be upon him and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have with us Brother Miqdad, an Islamic scholar. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you. Thank you too, and to all the listeners for being with us today.
Well, Brother Miqdad, today's question from the audience is, well, I feel like my child has started lying. How can I teach my child truthfulness? That's a very important question, and I think that must be the question of many parents out there.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, lying is a very bad trait, and it's something that we need to teach our children to avoid and to become strong not to lie. So we have been taught in Islam that lying leads to opening the doors of many other sins, right? It removes self-respect, it removes karama of an insan, of the human being, and it's entering a very vicious cycle. When somebody lies, then...
It's a key.
Exactly. It's a key that will open other sins, including lying as well. Very easy. You'll be lying the second time very easily when you've lied the first time, because you have to cover up for the first one, and you have to cover up for the second one, and so on and so forth. So the religion of Islam has taught us that lying is a very, very bad trait. And as much as we can, we have to be individuals who stand by the truth. We have been told that al-izzah, the izzah and the honor and self-respect of a man comes when he humbles himself in front of the truth. So we should always be seekers of the truth. We should always be with the truth. We should always say the truth. Truth should be something very important for us, and it should be important for our children as well. We should teach our children this. It's a very important trait. And so first and foremost, it's by speaking to our children. Right. Speaking to our children about these important traits, trait of being truthful, having these conversations with them, and letting them really, because see, these traits of perfection is something that we have been taught in the Holy Quran, that it is fitrah for us, right? فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That Allah says that Allah has placed in us this inclination towards the evil traits and the good traits as well.